James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Happy to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Be ye friend or foe, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, whatever. We're glad to have you along. If you are of the conservative Republican bent, we will bring you up to speed on what is actually going on in the world of politics and world affairs, both domestic and abroad. Yes, and we'll give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hey, I do want to correct something on last week's show. I mentioned about Harold Scheidberger being the president of the New York City Fire Department. He's the president of the International Association of Firefighters. So I did want to be sure and mention that. I always like to get things corrected, and I may have also said that the Emergency Management Command Center was in the World Trade Center. I meant in the World Trade Center Center, not actually in the Twin Towers, but anyway, it was in Building 7. So anyway, we got that corrected. Thanks for joining us today. We hope to have a lively show today. I'm expecting a guest to call in, a special guest, I hope, and we shall see. It's been on, it's been off, it's been on, it's been off, and right now it's pending. So I guess that's a little tease. We possibly have a very special guest coming on this afternoon, but we'll have to see if his travel plans work out right. You know how the airports are doing right now. Well, he's caught up in that. Hey, I do want to remind everybody to be sure and visit the new blog, okay? I haven't done a very good job of promoting it. It's TheGuyJamesShow.com/blog. And you can go there and comment on anything that we've put up by just clicking on the subject and putting your comments in below, all right? TheGuyJamesShow.com/blog. Be sure and do that. We hope you will hope you visit the new blog. Man, it's going to be a mighty sad Christmas at the Cheney's and Bush household, isn't it, if they can't bomb Iran? And it's going to just ruin their plans. I mean, Cheney's had his heart set on this for several years now, and we've all seen Junior Bush talking about his World War III scenario, and man, he actually seems to get, he gets a little bit aroused when he's talking about it. It's kind of like a sexual thing. So we'll talk a lot about that today, the new NIE report and all that goes along with that. Interesting. Very interesting that this Bush administration once again has been caught with their pants down around their ankles. Question is, do they care? And I think not. Something else going on right now, they're talking about these new CAFE standards for automobiles here in the United States. And you know, I was thinking, I had to tax my memory a little bit, and I finally narrowed it down. Back in 1967, I had a couple of cars. I had one, hot rod, and you had to have your supercar in those days, which I did. Anyway, you had to have your car for work because those cars with the 456 gears and the slicks and 2.4 barrels or 3 deuces and all that, they didn't get very good gas mileage. So you had to have a work car as well. And I had one. And anyway, that work car, and I don't want to go into what it was, it got over 40 miles a gallon. This is back in 1967. Very comfortable car. Car would run along 75, 80 miles an hour okay. And it wasn't some expensive, ultra-expensive hybrid or anything like that. But it got over 40 miles a gallon. Where are those cars at today? Are you telling me that they could do it in 1967, but they can't do it today? I mean, it was just a cheapo car. Something I bought secondhand. It was a couple of years old. And it got over 40 miles a gallon. So why can't we do that today? Well, I think the question is, the thing is, we probably could. We probably could. Anyway, that's just something that's kind of as important in the news. And, they're going to make it easy on the automakers. I don't think there's any question about that. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today. 866-546-5254. Have you noticed this Republican war on Christmas that's going on? Now, I know you've all heard it. You're going, Guy, what are you talking about? It's the Democrats and the liberals that have the war on Christmas and all that. Not true. Not true. We don't have a real war on Christmas, but, man, these Republicans do, and this is for real. I saw this myself. The Bush administration has announced an all-out, full-fledged war. Oh, my God, I can barely say this. Against Santa Claus. Santa Claus, for God's sake. And this isn't about some plywood cutout of the three wise men display down at the courthouse. Oh, no. This isn't something that simple. This, my friends, is about disparaging Santa Claus, Saint Nick, Kris Kringle, Father Christmas. That's right, they're now making fun of Santa Claus, and they're saying he isn't a good role model for the kids because he's packing a few extra pounds under that big old red suit of his. This disturbs me. Here we have a jolly old man who works his ass off all year long. No insurance benefits, no minimum wage, no good wages, no real perks, except maybe some hot chocolate and some cookies one night a year. And he's getting trashed by the Bush administration. I mean, the guy makes toys for kids, for God's sake. He gives them away. And he delivers them, too. And the Bushies want to tear the guy down. A war on Christmas. How could they do this to good old Saint Nick? You know, he's got to feed those reindeer. You got to keep the sleigh all polished up in good shape. He's got to feed all those hardworking elves. Load the sleigh. Be a great navigator. Probably doesn't even have one of those little GPS gizmos. You know, he's got to have the talent to land a sleigh full of toys on a little teeny rooftop. And I've had aircraft carrier pilots tell me that that's no easy thing to do. And he's up and down chimneys all night long, for God's sake. Plus, he has to take care of Mrs. Santa. Got to keep her happy, the honey-do list, and around the house and all that. And the Republicans are on his case about a couple of extra pounds. Acting Surgeon General Rear Admiral Stephen K. Galson has stated that Santa Claus needs to step away from the sleigh, put down the sweets, and get on the treadmill. Man, I knew these Republicans were a mean, nasty bunch, but to tear down Santa Claus, that's just over the top. Leave the man alone. Leave him alone. 866-546-5254. I don't know where to start today, really. Some of you asked me yesterday. I got a bunch of email about IMUS, and let me just get this out of the way. I got a half dozen or so emails asking my opinion of WABC putting Don Imus back on the air. And you know, almost always I try and respond to my listeners' requests, so I'll not hide my feelings about this question either. I may be sorry I didn't, but I'll share my feelings with you. Don Imus, I don't know how you feel about it. Frankly, I don't get the Don Imus thing, just as a lot of people don't get the Guy James thing, okay? I mean, I don't understand why people would ever listen to Don Imus. I never got the Imus thing. And that's okay, because we've got different tastes. But I have to ask the question right back. What the hell does anybody see in Don Imus? I mean, he's a mean, crotchety, nasty human being who's made a living making outrageous and stupid statements. The statement that got him thrown off the air a few months back was by no means the most outrageous thing he's ever said on the air. And, you know, a couple of years ago, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, asked me one day, did you see Imus this morning? And I answered, no, I didn't see Imus this morning. I never see Imus. And he replied that, well, you know, evidently you aren't being fair, because Imus is very entertaining. So I thought, what the hell? Maybe I haven't given old Imus a chance. Maybe I haven't given him fair shake. So I tuned in the following morning, and I forced myself to listen to the whole thing. And I heard one stupid and foolish and childish comment after another by him and his sidekicks, and I have to tell you that after watching the entire program from start to finish, I couldn't tell you what it was about, except that it was juvenile, it was sophomoric, and in my opinion, it was just plain silly. And I guess if that's what you're looking for, then have at it, but I just didn't get it at all. And my friend seemed so surprised when I told him what I thought of the show, but you know, he asked, and I told him my honest feelings, and I told him that I think Imus is a bore. So now he's back behind the microphone once again, making the big bucks, and am I envious of that? You bet I am. I'll just be right up front with you. I think that most likely everyone who beats their brains out day after day after day trying to bring listeners an informed, cogent, interesting program is envious that Imus is making millions of bucks spewing nothing but useless crap every day. But that is not my main gripe today. Here's my point about the Imus show. I am highly offended that Chris Dodd and James Carville and, to a lesser extent, John McCain and Mike Huckabee would immediately fawn over Imus upon his return to the airwaves just to get a little time on the air in front of a big audience. And it just shows you, and now they were scheduled to be on, and I don't know how many of them were for sure, but they were scheduled to be on the show yesterday, and I did not hear the show. I just saw some excerpts from it, but it goes to show you what complete whores these people really are. You know, you might think that principled men would avoid the Imus program like the plague, but I don't want to accuse some of these men of having any real principles, though. I just thought it might be a good example to put forth to the masses that if an entertainer like Imus acts and speaks like a complete jerk, using racist language, and he only apologizes after being threatened with losing his job, then it might be a good idea to stay the hell away from him and not go on his show and help him do it again. That's all I'm saying. And so I went back and forth with somebody with email with this and says, well, you know, Imus is really big into that ranch charity. Okay, score one for Imus. If he's doing a good thing with the charity, with the ranch and all, that's a good thing. He looks completely like an idiot in that huge cowboy hat and his Western jacket and that Western thing. I don't know. Don Imus is not a Western guy. But the way I was raised, if you're going to do charitable things, do them anonymously. And I understand he's using his celebrity to raise money, but if you're going to give and you're going to do charitable things, do it quietly. Do it anonymously. Don't put your fat name out there to get glory and exaltation for charitable things that you do. You don't need to do that. You should not do that. That's my opinion. That's my two cents. People ask me what I thought about the Imus thing. There you go. He's back. He probably will be back. Don Imus is very popular with a lot of folks. I understand that. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Where are we going with this here today? I know, and I made a few notes. I got to see excerpts, and I usually do, from some of the Sunday morning shows. I know I'm always a day late on talking about those, but I suppose some of you watch the Sunday shows. I don't get to see any of them, but you usually get a fair amount of cuts from them. And I was particularly struck with Russert and crew talking about the events of the week, this past week. I think Russert and his gang absolutely personify what we're talking about here when we try and set the record straight on the liberal media. And it absolutely appears to me that there is no liberal media of note. Keith, I'll give you Keith. But Tweety Bird more and more and more is nothing but a Hillary basher and bashes them. He loves Giuliani. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Russert, there's no doubt where his loyalties lay. But Russert went on and on and on about Hillary and Obama. And then out of the absolute necessity, I suppose, they decided to bring up Rudy's little problem last week. And, of course, they didn't do much of a job of discussing it along the lines of the real reason it ought to be discussed. Don't get me wrong here. When I talk about this Rudy thing from last week, I am not talking about the marital infidelity, okay? That happens. It's a fact of life here in America and every other country in the world. It's just the way it is. Sad but true. For whatever reason, that's not my point here. My point here is that here we have Rudy being this law and order tough guy who purports to be the savior of New York, and he's the guy who almost, in his opinion, to hear him tell it, almost single-handedly cleaned up crime in the Gotham City and, you know, committed what... It's fraud. It's fraud and grand larceny what Rudy Giuliani did. That is the point of this. The Judy Nathan extramarital affair and all that, that's something between him and his wife and Judy Nathan. That's I'll stay right out of that. But he was cheating the citizens of New York out of their money and doing his very best to hide the fact. That's what the problem is. He's talking about being this law and order guy, this tough guy, this man of the law. And I'm not talking about nickels and dimes here either. I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars going toward his little weekend trip to the Hamptons to see his girlfriend. He's providing cars for her and her relatives and having New York City cops walk their dogs. Here's her dog. Yeah, that's a good job for the New York City cops, making $50,000 a year out walking the mayor's girlfriend's dog. And yes, this boils down to him being Rudy, the great liar and thief. And yet, Russert, after dragging the Democratic candidates for the whole program over the coals for their political infighting, took only just a couple of minutes, time out from it, to say, oh, gee, they had some bad things about Rudy, but never mind, nothing to see here. That was the gist of what he had to say. That's just about what it was. They're determined to keep this guy on his white horse. And so I say once again, left-wing media, my ass. It just gets sickening. And here's a show. You're talking about Russert. If you're talking about Tweety Bird, you're talking about MSNBC, CNN, a couple of networks that are constantly excoriated by people on the right as being the liberal media. And they are not. And the hell of it is that we get accused of having this liberal media anyway, and they're about as anti-Democrat right now candidate. I'm so sick of it. I just can't get over it. Well, and, you know, here we find out that Some very, very sad news I found out today. Five National Guard brigades have been notified that they're going back to Iraq and Afghanistan in 2009. 15,000 Army National Guard troops are getting the word that they're going to be deployed to Afghanistan or Iraq beginning in the summer of 2009, the Pentagon officials announced yesterday. 7,000 to Afghanistan, 8,000 for Iraq. Folks, that's not what we had in mind when we said to get those folks out of there. That is not what we had in mind. We'll talk about Rudy a little bit more later on the program today. I did want to finish off a little bit about that idiotic debate last week. And to the very last man, the morons that were up on the stage trying to outdo one another in St. Petersburg. I hear that the Republicans are... and I think this is so funny. The Republicans are squabbling about the straw poll votes taken during last week's debate at St. Petersburg. I heard about this from four different sources, that they're fighting it out, the Republicans are, about their straw poll vote there. They had this little straw poll vote, and you could buy straw votes and all that. And you know, good. Let them fight it out. I'm hearing that the dominant group, the Giuliani, was threatening trouble to the others if they made waves. Again, good. That's good. Anytime these idiots can fight amongst themselves and look bad, I'm all for it. I encourage it. And, you know, I'm sent word that it's Ron Paul's supporters who were threatened by the Giuliani people. Well, why doesn't he just go home? You know, he's a pathetic and he's half nuts anyway, Ron Paul is, I'm talking about. He's a libertarian. And let me just say straight up, you know my opinion of the libertarians. That's usually the party of your crazy uncle that the rest of the family doesn't have anything to do with. And he's a racist to boot. So I'm not sympathetic with Ron Paul and his straw poll vote effort in any way, shape, or form. Let him fight it out. Who cares? I don't get it. I really don't. And what is it, you know, speaking of Ron Paul, what is it with the politicians from Texas? Do you ever think about that? Think about the politicians we've had from Texas in the last couple of decades. We've had, I'm trying to think, Dick Armey. We got that great governor there, is Rick Perry. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, John Cornyn, I despise the man. Crazier than a loon, Ron Paul. The best political criminal ever, Tom DeLay. And Junior Bush. Think of that. All from Texas. What is it about Texas? What is it about Texas? I don't know. 866-546-5254. I did hear Bush saying this morning that over and over and over again, yes, I watched some of that pathetic press conference of his. He was saying over and over again that Iran, in his words, had no right to make a nuclear weapon, especially in secret. He was going on about that. Tell me something, Mr. President. Does Israel have the nukes? Do they acknowledge having them? Did Israel tell the world when they were developing nuclear weapons in secret? But that was okay, wasn't it? That was okay. Man. It's amazing how they talk out of both sides of their mouth. It truly is. You know, I think Bush has lost all credibility with the American people. First it was on Iraq, and now it's on Iran. Our foreign policy is shot to hell in so many different ways. We've got a Secretary of State that... I don't know. What do you say about our Secretary of State? Completely ineffective, useless, totally without merit, has done nothing. Probably the least accomplished Secretary of State we've had in my lifetime, without question, perhaps the least accomplished ever. no credibility left. Took the office of Madam Secretary of State with all this, you know, with this great resume coming from Stanford and being this expert on the Russians. And first of all, if we were any kind of an expert on the Russians, why the hell didn't we foresee what was going to happen with Putin and his little power play that's going on over there? And evidently, we were caught completely flat-footed with that. So her expertise on the Russian situation is absolutely... I'd like to know what Madam Secretary of State's expertise on anything has done for our foreign policy here in this country. I say it again, she's been the most useless Secretary of State we have ever had. Ever. I cannot think of one accomplishment. Look at what when Israel and Lebanon, look at when that mess was going on. And she went over, you know, they literally told her to go to hell to get out. That's pretty much what they told her. They sent her home packing. In a critical time like that, the American Secretary of State, it was embarrassing. It is embarrassing when you stop and think about these people's foreign policy. I'm going to pause for a break right now. I want to play you a little something. I like to talk about how crazy the right-wingers are. I want to play you a quote, a clip from one of the right-wing heroes, generally acknowledged to be middle-right, somebody that has one of the most popular radio shows in America, someone whom many, if not most, of the right-wingers agree with on foreign policy, someone who articulates the hatred that the right wing has for anybody not white, Anglo-Christian, better than anybody I could possibly come up with. I give you Mr. Mike Savage.
I'm not going to put my wife in a hijab, and I'm not going to put my daughter in a burqa, and I'm not getting on my all fours and praying to Mecca, and you could drop dead if you don't like it. You could shove it up your pipe. I don't want to hear any more about Islam. I don't want to hear one more word about Islam. Take your religion and shove it up your behind. I'm sick of you. Your Bible has been revised several times. Jewish Bible has been revised several times. Not the Quran, though. They still live in the 7th century. Kill homosexuals. Cut the clitoris off women. Put women in dark clothing. Cut off anyone's head who doesn't agree with you. What kind of religion is this? What kind of world are you living in that you left them in here with that throwback document in their hand, which is a book of hate? Don't tell me I need re-education. They need deportation. I don't need re-education. Deportation, not re-education. You can take CAIR and throw them out of my country. I'd raise the American flag and I'd get out my trumpet if you did it. Without due process. You can take your due process and shove it. You back bastards. I'm so sick of them. I'm so sick of the brainwashing about Islam and Muslims and the Quran. Shove it. Shove it all. I'm sick of it. Get take the music off. I have never lived through a brainwashing like I've lived through for the last 5 years. Every day, another story, sweet-selling Islam and the Quran, it goes in the face. It's so counterintuitive. Wherever you look on the earth, there's a bomb going off or a car going up in flames, and it's Muslims screaming for the blood of Christians or Jews or anyone they hate. And every day, we're told the opposite here. Everything we know to be true, we're told, oh, don't believe what your mind tells you. Believe what the diversity trainers tell you. Believe what the government tells you. It's a religion of peace. Well, why don't they prove it's a religion of peace? Why don't they put down their hateful little book for a few minutes and tell us why when we pick up their hateful little book? I can read chapter and verse. I can see what it says in their book of hate. It says that if you see a stranger who is not a Muslim, either convert him or kill him. You want me to quote the sutra? I'll quote the sutra. Page after page after page is about religion, a religion that teaches convert or kill. A religion that says oppress women, kill homosexuals, kill the Jew, kill the Christian, kill the infidel. Page after page after page, and we're supposed to sit here and listen to this rubbish about a religion of peace. And every day Bush brings in thousands of more of these throwbacks. throwbacks wearing medieval costumes, walking around spitting on the ground every time they see a Christian or a Jew or a so-called infidel. These throwbacks think they're better than you underneath it all, and 90% of them are on welfare. 90% of them come in here, and all they do is breed more bombers. More bombers and more bombers. And you're telling me this is the same country? There, I gave it to you from the bottom of my heart. If you don't like it, it's too damn bad. Go write the SEC. It's time to stop hiding behind your pillow. Speak it out at the supermarket. Tell them what you think of Islam. Tell them what you think of Muslims. Tell them what you think of these things. Stop hiding what you feel. Say it to everybody you meet. Let them prove it's a religion of peace. Say it on the supermarket line. And don't care what stares you get from those dumb idiots who are checking out behind you with their Cracker Jacks. Say it to everybody you meet wherever you go. If America started to say it like it is, we could take the country back from the maniacs who are bringing them in by the tens of thousands. What sane nation that worships the U.S. Constitution, which is the greatest document of freedom ever written, would bring in people who worship a book that tells them the exact opposite? Make no mistake about it, the Quran is not a document of freedom. The Quran is a document of slavery and chattel. It teaches you that you are a slave.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Fox Stop at midnight Eastern, where we'll take a look at Lenny Kravitz.
It's spiritual, you know. It's very important to me. It should be important to all of us, you know. It's like, especially the situation that the world is in, you know. I think it's time for people to really start to think about this whole universe and where we come from and where we're going and get involved.
So be there Thursday midnight on Fox Stop, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We want peace, we want it, yes, we want peace, we want it, yes, we want peace.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Ah, so good to hear the words of Michael Wiener Savage, isn't it? Very sane man, very down-to-earth man, very logical man. Man likes to show how much compassion he has for those different than himself, for those of a different creed, different color. Mikey loves them all, just as do most of those Republican candidates who stood up on the stage of that fantastic debate last week. Take Tommy Tancredo, for example. Oh, how he loves the Hispanic folks. Yes, he does. And take Duncan Hunter. He is well. Shameful group up on that stage. Shameful group. No, none more shameful than Mr. Rudy Giuliani. And, you know, speaking of shameful, and I just had to bring this up, Mr. Pat Robertson, the Right Reverend Pat Robertson, spiritual leader of the South and of the fundies and of the evangelicals, I think we can say that he is their spiritual leader, numero uno. I've written an open letter to Reverend Pat Robertson, and I have sent it to him, and I will post it on the Guy James Show blog, and by the way, that's TheGuyJamesShow.com/blog, and I'll get that up here today. But an open letter to Mr. Pat Robertson, the Right Reverend Pat Robertson. Reverend Robertson, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your choice for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States, one Mr. Rudolph Giuliani. I know, sir, that you're a man of high moral standards. And I also know that you represent the very finest in Christian values. So I'm wondering if it's possible that you've been so busy that you've not heard about a few little transgressions by Mr. Giuliani that would seem to violate and fly in the face of the principles that you preach to the masses. I'm not trying to be negative here, but I believe that Mr. Giuliani's missteps are somewhat serious. and are against the basic tenets of your religious beliefs. And I just felt it my duty to inform you of a few things that may cause you and your followers some concern, Reverend Robertson. It would seem that Mr. Giuliani has been, and how shall I say this delicately? It would seem he's been caught with his hand in the proverbial cookie jar. Now, I may be old-fashioned, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears to be a bit unseemly for the mayor of New York City to be married to one woman while making secret visits to another lady in the Hamptons, but moreover, having the good citizens of that great city pay for his adulterous behavior. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be some sort of Puritan here and say that this is some sort of an aberration in human behavior, but I'm very sure that after all of the comments you made about Mr. Bill Clinton during his trouble with Ms. Lewinsky, that you, Reverend Robertson, certainly wouldn't approve of Mr. Giuliani's behavior either. I'm sure you couldn't have known about this, or you wouldn't have put your good name at stake in backing such a man for the highest office in the land. One could almost expect someone of the liberal persuasion to throw their support behind such a man as Mr. Giuliani, but I know a man of your stature and high moral standards wouldn't knowingly back a man of such low moral character. After all, what kind of message would that send to your dedicated followers? And moreover, the question that was asked most often during the Clinton-Lewinsky affair, what kind of a message would it send to the children if they knew their spiritual leader was being supportive of a man seeking the most important leadership position in the world, who had not even publicly repented of his sins? Very sincerely, Guy James. Well, you know, I don't like to get involved in these things. I really don't. But I felt that the Right Reverend Pat Robertson should know my feelings about this, being one of the nation's foremost spiritual leaders and all. I thought he should know, because obviously he didn't know about the indiscretions of Mr. Giuliani, or certainly a man of his stead could not back Mr. Giuliani, knowing of his background, not only of the adulterous affair, but the hiding from the citizens of the New York, the taxpayers of the New York, hiding the payment for this illicit affair and the dog walking and the cars for the relative, hiding it from the citizens of New York. Certainly a man worthy of being the president of the United States would never, never do a thing like that. And most definitely, the Right Reverend, a man of high moral, and we're led to believe the very highest moral character, a man who exemplifies the principles of the evangelical movement here in this country, the family values people, certainly that man would not back such a man as Mr. Giuliani. So now we know, after that we've sent Mr. Robertson this letter, that he is aware of Mr. Giuliani's transgressions, and we can only hope that he will take another look at the situation and rectify what he's done here that is most definitely wrong in backing a man like that. It's, where are the Republican family values here? Where are they? You know, you stop and think about the present day family values. the family values in the Republican Party. Those infamous family values that have been drilled into us how many decades now, ever since the Reagan years. Family values, family values. We are the party of family values. You know, family values, my ass. I take a look at the basic tenets of the Republican Party right now and what's been going on since Junior Bush and his daddy have been in office and Reagan, and I think family values, for whose family? For their families and for the wealthy families in this country. The rest of you can go straight to hell because you don't matter. You're not figured in those family values. You didn't think you were, did you? Of course not. You know, you take a look across the board at their family values, and there's a few things that come to mind. I, for one, I'd like to preserve this planet for my kids and their kids. You know, what about the Republicans? Is that one of their values? No, we don't know a damn thing about global warming. We don't care. Use this planet. Abuse this planet. God gave us this planet to use it up, and by God, we're going to. That's the Republican values on the stewardship of this wonderful planet of ours. Use it up. Get mine. Screw you. You know, I'd like to do what I can to make sure that global warming is stopped to the degree that man can stop it and influence it. Is that a Republican family value? Not hardly. Think of their family values, the vaunted Republican family values that they have espoused over the years. You know, I'd like to have a health care system where death isn't one of the treatment choices for people who don't have enough money to pay the bills. Unfortunately, death is one of the choices right now for you if you don't have enough money for the elective surgery of some kind for a cancer or a heart ailment. Death is one of the choices. And that's the choice a lot of people have to make. Family values, family Republican values. I'd like to see a society that doesn't mind who your kids or who your grandkids love or marry, regardless of their color or their sex. Is that a Republican value? Well, they'll hold on to that one as long as they possibly can. And I'd like to think that when my grandkids graduate from school, that they'll have an opportunity for decent employment available for them instead of having to join the military to make a decent living or wear one of those damn blue coats at Walmart. I'd like to think they'll have some opportunity available for them. I'd like to think that. You think that's one of their values right now? It is for themselves. And when I look at the rest of what I call family values and compare, I'd like to know that Jewish kids and black kids and Muslim kids and Hispanic kids, I'd like to know they'll all be treated as equals. All of them. Is that a Republican value? You know the answer to that. The answer to that is no, hell no. And I'd like to know that before I die, the American public will finally wake up and realize that the Republican Party doesn't have any family values. It's all been a house of cards. It's been an illusion. Something to get votes. It's been rhetoric that's been completely empty. They only have the values that enrich and protect their wealthy friends. Those are their values. Grab what you can get for you and your wealthy friends and to hell with everybody else, and I don't care how you do it. That is the main Republican value, and they have been so successful in brainwashing the rest of the people in the Republican Party to get their votes. My God, have they been successful? The elite, the wealthy elite in the Republican Party have convinced those that don't have, the have-nots in the Republican Party, that when we're taking the money out of your pocket, we, the elite of the Republican Party, when we're stealing you blind, and when we're putting you in debt from now till the end of time because of this war, we're doing you a favor. They have convinced the majority of those who vote Republican that that is exactly the case. We're acting in your best interest. We'll have a perpetual war, and we'll lower our, the elite rich, we'll lower our taxes. Your taxes, not so much. And your grandkids can pay for this war and sacrifice for it. We're not going to. They have convinced the elite, the top of the Republican Party, have convinced the great masses of the Republican Party, even the lunch bucket Republicans, they've convinced them to vote against their own interest. And I got to hand it to them. It was a masterful plan, and they've carried it out to perfection. Well, you know, Republican values. And I was reminded the other day that about Willard Romney. Remember that story about him strapping his dog on top of the car on that family trip? And the rest of the story was they actually drove down the road and left that dog on top of that car until a brown liquid ran down the back window. But, you know, I was comparing it with Rudy. At least he didn't bill the taxpayers for Trist and his little love nest with Judy and the Hamptons like Rudy did. So they're both great candidates, really. Very compassionate people. I guess as you can tell by now, I'm not completely enamored with any of the Republican candidates. We have the Republicans now, the Bush administration, starting to crow and claim victory in Iraq. Have you noticed that? The killings are down. The bombings are down. The death toll from our soldiers is down. You know, it was at a 1 level, and it went up to a 10, and now it's back down to 8, and everybody's happy. And so I wanted to pose this question to you. I was putting this on the blog today, and I wanted to pose a question in regards to the Republicans and how they're talking right now about the way things are going in Iraq. Question. Suppose you were walking down the sidewalk one sunny day, and I drove my car off the road. I drove it off the road up into the sidewalk, and I run over you, breaking both of your legs and your left arm. There wasn't anybody around, so I pick you up and I put you in my car, and fearing trouble with the authorities, took you to my house, and reminiscent of that movie Misery, you remember that, Misery, with Kathy Bates and James Caan? Put you in the back bedroom, bandage your legs so the bones would eventually fuse, albeit you'll walk with a terrible limp for the rest of your life. And using a bottle of whiskey for anesthetic, I had to amputate your arm after you got gangrene, but after a while, because of your will to live and an old prescription for antibiotics and a bottle of aspirin I had in the medicine cabinet, you survived. And it got to the point where I took you back to that same sidewalk where I'd struck you with my car, and I dumped you out so and you could limp along a whole hell of a lot worse for wear than before I'd hit you with my car. The question is, would I deserve credit for nursing you back to health again and bringing you back to that street? Would I? Think about it. That's kind of what they're saying right now. And I have great misgivings about the whole thing. Well, we're going to pause for a quick break. Be right back.
You don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Back when progressives were fighting for a woman's right to vote and establishing national parks and trying to pass a new plan called Social Security, conservatives fought them every step of the way. And today, as conservatives try to move us backwards, it's progressives who are working to protect pensions, provide health insurance for all, and achieve energy independence. America at its best. That's progressive. That's you.
Sizzler Kalonji. Collar boards.
You know,
Colombo extraordinaire.
Shunning.
We're living in serious times. Watch out.
Oh, it's a madman world that we're living in.
Oh.
Gotta keep your heads up high. You can't be giving in. Don't you let one day go by. Without prison, bamboo style. Cause it's the only way we ever will survive. It's a madman world that we're living in.
What's wrong with us?
Gotta keep your heads up high. You can't be giving in. Don't you let one day go by. Without prison, bamboo style.
What?
Cause it's the only way we ever will survive.
Tough life, tough crime, you them had a hard time. No guides, no sign, walking on a thin line. Sentence, no trial, victim of a profile. No hope, no fight, wonder why we hostile. False profit, make profit, focused on their pocket. White collar, false docket, door hoping, can't lock it. Politics, politics, equal economic tricks. Toll rising, sex commercializing, barely surviving, future jeopardizing, no compromising, hope paralyzing, rules need revising, why is it surprising?
Got to eat the warning, see the storms are forming, not the time for stalling, look around, it's so appalling. A mad, mad world that we're living in, gotta keep your heads up high. Can't be giving in. Don't you let one day go by without praising the Most High. Cause it's the only way we ever will survive. It's a mad, mad world that we're living in.
Mad person,
gotta keep your heads up high. Can't be giving in. Don't you let one day go by without praising the Most High. Cause it's the only way we ever will survive.
Clear warfare, satellites everywhere, mothers on welfare. What about Medicare, ethnic cleansing, freedom pending, government spending? Who are they defending? Bankrolls on foes, anything to end rows. Spotlights, their goals, price paid, their souls. Step back, retract, notice where your life's at.
Where was it worth it? Don't you let one day go by without praising the Most High. Cause it's the only way we ever will survive. Yeah. It's a mad, mad world that we're living in. Gotta keep your heads up high. Can't be giving in.
Wow.
listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. After our show, coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, Mark Levine's going to be there. Bob is going to be there after that. Hey, we got good programming all day, every day here on the Head On Radio Network. The very best in progressive liberal broadcasting. If you miss it, why, you're not going to really, really know what's going on out there. Really. Hey, I was just having a little fun. Somebody sent me John Boehner, or I like to call him Boehner, from the 8th District, Ohio, congressman, minority leader there, Boehner. And on his website, you know, after this, after the NIE report, and maybe they've got it changed as of this afternoon, this was from this morning, but on his official website this morning, it says, winning the global war on terror. This is from John Boehner's official website. When the consequences of failure in Iraq and elsewhere would be catastrophic for America and the world. General Petraeus and others have warned, for example, of the very real possibility of Iraq's neighbors taking sides in the sectarian violence. Failing in Iraq would jeopardize Israel and greatly benefit Iran, a nation governed by a fanatic and actively building nuclear weapons. Oh, John, you better get a hold of the folks over to the White House. They've got news for you. Mm-hmm. They have news for you, Boehner. You see that old line about the nukes in Tehran? Well, you see, it's just not true anymore, and it seems like they've known it for a good long time. And we're going to talk about that at length after the top of the hour. It seems like the Bush administration has been... Well, you know, to put it kindly, they've been fudging a little bit on the facts. They've been damn good at fudging, don't you think, over the years? I can think of quite a few instances, and I'm sure you can as well, where they've just kind of told little white lies, if you know what I mean. Nothing that would really harm anybody. Nothing that would harm a Valerie Plame. Nothing that would harm I don't know how many hundred thousand innocent Iraqis killed in a war. Nothing that would harm innocent people in Iran if we went over there and bombed hell out of them. Just little white lies, you see. Just little things that, you know, I mean, okay, we were wrong on some things. We had some bad intel. The president says he didn't know about this NIE report until last week, and we'll talk about that at the top of the hour. Their lies just seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and, you know, it's really something when you talk about it. We'll talk about their chutzpah after the top of the hour and after the news. The more I read about this, I think this is possibly the biggest story of the year. And let's face it, there's been some damn big stories this year in politics, but I think this one might just be the cream of the crop. And you know Dick Cheney's got to be just totally despondent. He had him a good war all planned, and maybe he still does. But man, you can see, you know, he had the little toy soldiers on his desk and the little plastic airplanes and the aircraft carriers and the bombs. And he had them all lined up there on his desk. Oh, he was going to go get that Ahmadinejad. He was going to let him have it. Dick Cheney has been lobbying for this war with Iran since day one. He wants them, and he wants them bad, and he's never missed an opportunity out on the stump to tell us that about the nukes that they're building in Iran and that Ahmadinejad, and oh my God, be afraid, be very afraid. That's the message of Dick Cheney. And now this latest NIE report. Oh, Dickie boy, going to be problems. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. Yours truly, Guy James, the host. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. Don't you dare go away. We got a whole lot more coming up.
This is the Quality News Network. Progress is slow at the climate meeting in Bali. The 190-nation gathering about global warming took small steps today toward curbing greenhouse gas emissions, especially in China and India. Oregon, Washington State, and the upper Midwest are all cleaning up after two storms slammed into the region, bringing several inches of rain and hurricane-force winds, while the Northeast is getting a strong dose of snow. President Bush says Iran is still a danger despite a new U.S. intelligence report that says Tehran's nuclear weaponry program was halted 4 years ago and remains on hold. At a morning press conference, the president also said, quote, all options are on the table, end quote, in dealing with Iran. President Bush claims he'll veto a new congressional law toughening fuel standards for cars. It's the first change in fuel standards in 30 years. The legislation is designed to decrease greenhouse gas emissions and increase fuel efficiency. U.S. nuclear negotiator Christopher Hill is meeting with his North Korean counterpart today. Yesterday, Hill became the highest-ranking American to visit Pyongyang's reactor. Five National Guard brigades, about 15,000 soldiers, have been called up for combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, scheduled to start in the summer of 2009. North of Baghdad, the U.S. military soldiers say they accidentally killed one civilian and wounded three others yesterday. American troops opened fire on a vehicle slow to stop at a roadblock. A commercial passenger jet has taken off from the Mosul airport for the first time in 14 years. The resumption of civilian air travel in the region is seen as a significant step toward normalization. Iraqi troops discovered a mass grave with the remains of a dozen people, including a paramedic who disappeared more than a year ago. It's the latest grisly find at a former al-Qaeda stronghold north of Baghdad. The British schoolteacher imprisoned in Sudan for violating Islamic law has arrived back home in London. She was pardoned by Sudan's president after serving half of her 2-week sentence. Israel's housing ministry says it's taking steps on more than 300 new homes to be built in East Jerusalem. A Palestinian negotiator immediately appealed to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A congressional committee criticized credit card executives for using falling credit scores to charge customers higher interest rates. Members of the committee say it's an example of abusive and confusing credit practices that often push consumers into deeper debt. Treasury officials and mortgage companies continue discussing a plan to temporarily freeze lower introductory rates to curb foreclosures. About 2 million subprime U.S. mortgages will reset to higher levels next year. Tax preparer H&R Block closed down its subprime home lending unit, laying off 620 people. The move comes after an agreement to sell the unit to another company failed. Microsoft will tone down its campaign against pirated software. Instead of shutting down much of its customer's computer, it finds questionable materials. The updated system will nag the user. Frequent pop-up warnings will appear telling the user their operating system is fake. Light sweet crude oil is trading down $1.71 at $87.60 a barrel. Gold is up $13 at $807 an ounce. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 34 points at 13,293. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Roll the second switch! Roll the third switch!
Not
I. James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Absolutely. Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show. Hey, let me remind you one more time. We've put up a new blog. We're trying to get some publicity out about it. TheGuyJamesShow.com/blog. And if you don't go there and put up your 2 cents, we're going to shut you off. We know where you are. We know who you we know who you are. We know where you live, and we're going to take away your privileges unless you go to the new blog and throw in your 2 cents worth. Please do. Love to hear from you. We're trying to get that going and make it something kind of interactive, and we're going to put up a forum with it as well here very, very shortly. And just pass the word, the Guy James Show. .com/blog. Go visit. All you got to do is click on one of the titles, and they'll ask for your comments, and we'd be awfully glad to hear from you. Really. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today. We're talking about this hour. We want to mention the NIE report. I got an email. I've offended somebody's sensibilities. Mark, I humbly apologize. Mark wrote me an email, said, please don't do that again. I quickly wrote back and said, what? And it was the savage cut. It was the savage cut that got to him. Yes, sir. And I don't blame him. Savage is on here at the local right-wing, flaming right-wing blowtorch station that threw me off here a couple of years ago. Yes, I know it's hard for you to understand, but yes, they did. They threw yours truly off the air. They said my program did not meet the expectations of their conservative audience. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That this show would not meet the expectations of the drug junkie Limbaugh, the Hannitys, and the Michael Savage, Wiener Savage people? Can you imagine that? They even went so far as that during the Dan Rather incident, they got so indignant that they switched over from CBS to Fox. They wanted to make the whole thing complete. So they literally are, you can sit there and listen to right-wing babble all day, every day. Yes, you can. And I got an email I do want to talk about here in just 1 minute, and I'll get to this Bush on this Saudi Arabia rape case. I got a letter from Dave that says, he said, I don't care what anybody says. There are two things, the Democrat, and this is a tongue-in-cheek, this is what the Republicans are saying. I don't care what anybody says. There's two things the Democrats will do if they're allowed to take over the government. First, they'll raise taxes. They can't wait to raise your taxes, and they'll do it as much as they can because, after all of the Democrats that vote them into office love big taxes. They love paying a huge portion of their income to the federal government. Taxes! Don't forget, the Democrats will raise your taxes so high you won't be able to pay them. And don't forget that our Republican god, Ronald of Reagan, proved that trickle-down economics worked. Well, sort of. They could have worked if that Clinton hadn't screwed the whole thing up. Be sure and read between the lines here. The Democrats will make sure the greedy bastards who haven't been paying any taxes on obscene income will have to pay taxes for a change and lighten the load on the average lunch bucket Joe working man. Don't forget that part. And the other Republican talking point, if you elect Democrats to office, our national security will go right down the drain. Why, they'll even help Iran make a nuke. They'll help Osama bin Laden get him some of them new planes and bombs and bomb some more buildings. The Democrats want more terrorism. Don't you forget that damn Bill Clinton was offered bin Laden dozens of times and he refused to take him. Why, I know for a fact at one time they had the guy in handcuffs sitting in a black van in the White House driveway. And Clinton said, no, I'm too busy now. Let the guy go. What you, my fellow Republican voters, need to remember is that if you allow Hillary Clinton or any of those other Democratic Party candidates to get to the White House, you and your kids won't be able to sleep, not ever. Because you'll have to sit by your front door with your shotgun guarding against the tax collectors and bin Laden. Why, they might even make bin Laden a tax collector, those damn Democrats. Yes, sir. Taxes and fear. They're not using abortion much this year. Immigration's in there quite a bit. Oh, yeah, don't forget bin Laden and a busload of Mexicans, along with the tax collector, will be coming to your front doors. Don't forget that. Fear, fear, taxes, fear. Mexicans, actually anybody that's different than you are. If you're white and Anglo and evangelical Christian, we love you. And we know you're on our side. Otherwise, you just get your ass lost. Hey, you know how much integrity the Bush administration's got? I think they showed us once again how much integrity they've really got. You know, the two biggest goats, the two biggest pariahs when this whole war started, besides Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolf, and but was Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and Douglas Feith. You know, you take that gang right there, Cheney and Feith and Wolfowitz and Pearl. You talk about a bunch of SOBs that threw us into a needless war through a bunch of lies and prevarications. That was it. That's what that group was all about. And Wolfowitz leaves. He goes to the World Bank, makes a complete and utter ass of himself. Amongst allegations that he improperly gave a improper raise to his girlfriend. And they literally rode his ass out of town on a rail at the World Bank. And Condi Rice, that paragon of virtue in the State Department, has offered and he has accepted Wolfowitz, one of the prime architects of the Iraq War. They've offered him a position as chairman of the International Security Advisory Board, which is a prestigious State Department panel. And he's taken. It's an 18-member panel. I don't know what the pay is. Probably pretty damn good. And she said, well, he's very well suited and will do an excellent job. Paul Wolfowitz. When you stop and think of the people that are criminals or people who should be criminals that are in this Bush administration, I mean, when they first took over, they went through and just started, Negroponte. He's been recycled through this administration. I'm trying to think of the other one right now. They went out of their way to get all the criminals and scoundrels they could in this administration. But here they are recycling Wolfowitz one more time. I find this appointment absolutely amazing. And I don't use that word amazing lightly. It's overused nowadays. But it as Powerpuff said on the chat room, if you're too corrupt for the World Bank, you're pretty bad. And that's Powerpuff. That's saying it. That's telling it like it is right there. That's a good one. If you're too corrupt for the World Bank, you're pretty bad. Oh man. Yeah. 866-546-5254. Oh, yeah, and I mentioned John Bolton. John Bolton, here's a man who is a diplomat. John Bolton, whose idea of diplomacy was, I'm an American, and I'm going to kick your ass unless you do what I tell you to do. That's his idea of diplomacy. Even when he was in the UN, here's a man that was our representative to the United Nations that had nothing but contempt and scorn for the United Nations and all the people in it. And as I said before, his idea of diplomacy was, I'm an American, by God. I got a bigger gun than you got, and you're going to do what I'm going to do or else. That's American diplomacy under John Bolton and this Bush administration. You've heard about this rape case over in Saudi Arabia, I'm sure. And I'm not sure the age on this is right. Any of you know if this age is right? That this it says this woman was 12 years old. 12-year-old Saudi woman who was the victim of a brutal gang rape and later sentenced to 200 lashes. They blamed her for being an adulteress who invited the attack. Well, Ed Henry at the Bush press conference this morning brought this up, and this is there's been a lot of press on this. She got a lawyer and fought this. She originally, I think, was supposed to get 90 lashes, and because she had the temerity to bring this up and supposedly embarrass the court, they sentenced her to even more lashes. Because she embarrassed the court in Saudi Arabia. These are our friends. These, the Saudi royal family, the friends of the Bush family, the good friends of the Bush family. And this morning, CNN's Ed Henry pointedly asked Bush why he hadn't used his influence to do something about the 12-year-old Saudi woman who was the victim of a brutal gang rape and sentenced to 200 lashes. And Bush danced. He refused to answer that question. He said he recently spoke to King Abdullah about the Middle Eastern peace, but isn't sure if he mentioned the Saudi case. I don't know if that subject came up. Let me play Bush's response to that. You talk about a coward and a wimp and a guy that supposedly has moral values. You just listen to his answer on this if you didn't hear it.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Excuse me, Toby.
Thank you. On another issue of credibility in the Mideast, at the Annapolis summit, you used your influence to get Saudi Arabia to the table, but I wonder whether now you will use your influence to do something about the Saudi rape case that has gotten so much international attention. What goes through your mind when you hear about a 19-year-old Saudi woman getting gang raped by 7 men, and basically a Saudi court blames the victim and sentenced her to 200 lashes? You spoke to King Abdullah by telephone in the last couple of weeks. Did you press him on this case? If so, what did you say? And if not, are you giving him a pass?
My first thoughts were these. What happens if this happened to my daughter?
Yeah, what if?
How would I react?
How would you react?
And I would have been... I'd have been very emotional, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have been angry
mm-hmm.
at those who committed the crime.
Yeah, and how about the Saudis?
And I'd be angry at a state that didn't support the victim.
And what would you do about it?
And our opinions were expressed by Dana Perino from the podium.
Oh, by Dana?
Personally. I talked to King Abdullah about the Middle Eastern peace. I don't remember if that subject came
but
up.
But if it's that important to you, why wouldn't you bring it at that level, bring it directly up to King Abdullah?
Plenty of time. He knows our position loud and clear.
I spoke to King Abdullah at the Middle East peace talks. I don't remember if I brought up that case. How would I feel if that happened to my daughter? Let me show you my Republican and fatherly compassion. How would I feel if that happened to my daughter? I'd feel bad about it. I'd be angry at the courts. But I don't remember. Let me see. Did I mention that to King Abdullah? Let's see, this girl is convicted and getting a jail term and getting 200 lashes because she reported the crime of rape? And is worldwide news? And you're aware of it? And you spoke to King Abdullah, and you don't remember if you brought up that subject? Oh my God. Proving once again that you are not a decent human being. The incompetence we know about. The lies, the prevarications, the cheating, the stealing, the do anything you have to do to get your policies and what you want done in the Middle East, the war in Iraq and all. We know about that. And we'll chalk some of that off to politics. We'll chalk some of it off to ignorance. We'll chalk some of it off to greed. But damn it. This case, I don't remember if I spoke to King Abdullah about a young woman threatened, sentenced to 200 lashes, time in prison, because she was raped. I don't remember if I spoke to him about it. What kind of a man would stand at a podium and say that? What kind of man would do that? What kind of man would not get a hold of King Abdullah and say, hey, you listen to me. You listen to me. I am the President of the United States and I have some influence, and you will not carry out a sentence like that. Human rights are human rights, and you will not do that. And even if the king didn't go along with you, even if you couldn't change his mind on that, at least you would have put forth an effort. This man did. Oh, Dana Perino talked about it at the press conference. Dana Perino made my thoughts known on that. Dana Perino can't even make her own thoughts known. Dana Perino must be just playing out the string for the administration, because without any question, she's the most hapless. How could you possibly get a worse press secretary than Dana Perino? Clueless. Completely clueless. And Bush stands there and says, well, you know, she made our thoughts on that known. As I said, once again, proving that the man is not a decent human being. This man that most of America said back during the election that this was a guy that I'd like to sit and have a beer with. People actually said that. I wouldn't want to be on the same block with him having a beer. Anybody that would just say what he said, oh, I'd care about it if it was my daughter. What he was saying was, I don't give a rat's ass if it's somebody else's daughter. Especially some Arab woman, I don't care. And so what if it's one of my friends, one of my family friends carrying out the sentence, King Abdullah? Some of the royal family that I hold hands with at the ranch when they come and visit me. Nah. That's okay. But I just don't remember if I brought that up to him or not. I just don't know. Oh, boy. 866-546-5254. You know, Bob and I were talking last night. Bob Kincaid, one of the best show hosts in All of the Talk Radio. Bob and I were talking about something light and airy last night. We were talking about college football and how refreshing it is to get away from it all once in a while. And that was a wonderful diversion on the weekend. And now it's over with until bowl season. Bob being a Mountaineer fan from West Virginia and me being the devout Ohio State fan. And he's sad right now, and I'm not. I'm sad that his team didn't get in the national championship game. I am. I was hoping for a West Virginia Mountaineer, Ohio State Buckeye national final. I know some of you weren't hoping for either of them. I don't know. But, you know, some of my friends ask me, oh, gee, how can you on Saturday night do nothing but listen to college and watch college football? Because it helps empty my head out of the kind of filth that we talk about all week. And when I talk about a story like I just talked here, I'm disgusted. I'm completely disgusted by it. When I talk about the Rudy Giuliani situation of him literally writing his bills off to the citizens of New York, I'm disgusted by it. When I talk about the President of the United States and this national intelligence estimate, being talking about, you know, having talked about the Third World War with Iran all along here, and Cheney talking about them having a, you know, I'm disgusted. So, we all have a diversion of some kind. We can't talk about this stuff 24/7. We need to get away from it once in a while and just put the old brain on autopilot and just let it go into something that's fun. And that's what college football's been this year. It's been the most marvelous season. And it's easy for me to say that. My team's in the national championship game in New Orleans. But even if it weren't, this has been the most marvelous season. All the upsets, and it's so much fun to see all the experts and myself be wrong each and every week about some of the games and not go into each and every game knowing damn well who's going to win. It was fun. It was great fun. And I thank all the college coaches and all the college players for the great, great season they've given us. My, oh, my, oh, my. What a what an absolute fabulous time it was. 866-546-5254. You know, I heard Bush talk this morning, and again, I took the bullet for you if you didn't watch his little press conference. His arrogance, his petulance. Got to be the most arrogant man that ever walked into the city of Washington, D.C., and my God, that's a mouthful. He said that he was told about the national intelligence estimate last week. Last week. But they didn't tell me what was in it. Now, Hadley was asked when Bush knew about the NIE, and you know, Bush said, I think he said that it was, I know he made the statement on October 17th that Bush did, that Iran was building a nuclear weapon. What do you suppose are the chances? Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, wouldn't know when asked exactly when the president was told about this. What do you suppose the chances are there? Huh? We're told that this national intelligence estimate has been languishing, has been laying around almost in the complete form that it's in now for a year. And we are supposed to believe, now that it's become public, that Junior Bush and Dick Cheney, being out on the speaking tours and the circuits and giving press conferences and all that and inflaming the American public and the world opinion and the neighbors over in the Middle East time after time after time that these guys were building a nuke right under our noses and we had to do something about it. What do you think are the chances that they didn't know what was in this NIE report? I say yes, exactly. As Powerpuff says on the chat room, slim and none. That is a damn lie for them to say they didn't know exactly what was in that. A damnable lie. Again. And still, some 30% of the people in this country approve of the job Mr. Junior Bush is doing as the President of the United States. The man has no credibility left with the lion's share of the people in this country and around the world. And we're hearing, and I think we now know that this NIE report's going to make it a bit more difficult for guys like Cheney to push a war into Iran. It's going to be more difficult. Because there was a lot of people on the fence probably going, well, you know, what if those Iranians do get a nuclear bomb? What if they do? They're working on it. The president said they were. Cheney said they were. Maybe we better listen up here. Maybe these guys are crazy, you know. They'll make a few of those bombs and we'll be up the creek, you know. You know, we know from members of Dick Cheney's staff that he was calling for military strikes against Iran almost on a daily basis. We know that from inside the White House and the Vice President's office. We know that. And we also know now, and think about this, and my friend Atreus wrote about this today. He said it's got to be understood that since our intelligence agencies don't believe Iran has a nuclear weapons program, it also means that they don't know where such a program would be physically located if it did exist. This means that any desires of Dick Cheney and his people to bomb Iran simply involve bombing the shit out of Iran. Well, Atreus, you're, as always, right on the money. Don't worry about who we bomb, or let's just bomb somebody. And as, you know, to quote that favorite song of one of the presidential candidates, one John McCain, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 Iran. Yeah. Think of that. Here's a man running for the presidency of the United States that must also have known about this NIE report, and if he did not, then he's got no business being president of the United States. But here he is, calling for bombing Iran. And something that really sticks in my craw today was this report that came out from The Guardian that Israel, our good friends Israel, are challenging the NIE report. That's right, Israel publicly challenged the U.S. intelligence consensus that Iran had stopped its nuclear weapons program, even as Tehran welcomed the U.S. findings. Iran claimed its peaceful nuclear intentions were clear after a new U.S. national intelligence estimate concluded that Tehran had stopped its nuclear military program in 2003. But the Israelis, oh, no. No, 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 no. We know different. See, they always know different in Israel, don't they? Like they wouldn't try and provoke the U.S. into bombing Iran. Don't we know that? I think we do. So I don't give a tinker's damn, as my grandpa used to say, what the Israelis think about our NIE. I don't care. It's our report. We should live by it. 866-546-5254. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. He's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shear's Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here on the Horn Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
Rudy Giuliani claims to be the hero of 9/11. However, a recent caller to the Guy James Show disagrees.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello. How are you? Hello to everybody.
Good.
My name is Deputy Chief Jim Riches, and my son died on 9/11. Jimmy, he was a firefighter down at Ground Zero. And the reason I'm calling is to let everybody know about Rudy Giuliani. He says he's Mr. 9/11, and that's anything but the truth.
And lest anybody think that you or a small band of firemen are having some sort of a sinister plot against Rudy Giuliani, this is widespread amongst the New York City firefighters.
Yeah, I work in the firehouse. I'm a deputy chief in the fire department. I go around to numerous firehouses every tour. When you go there, the only thing you hear after Giuliani's name is a four-letter word, and it's not hero. He disrespected our brothers that died that day. And we have no use for that man.
Na 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 na. The smell of your skin lingers on me now. You're probably on your flight back to your hometown. I need some shelter of my own protection, baby. Be with myself and center. Clarity, peace, serenity. Go alone. I must take the baby steps till I'm full grown. Full grown. Fairy tales don't always have a happy ending, do they? And I foresee the dark ahead if I stay. myself from the center. Clarity, peace, serenity.
Big thank you to everybody for joining us here on the Guy James Show today. You don't know how much we all appreciate here in the Head On Radio Network, everybody listening to the programs, and John and Bob and Mark and myself and Dr. Bill. Very, very happy to have all of you listening in, and very appreciative of your appreciation of your participation in the programs, both on the chat room and your email and your phone calls. We thank you for that. We sincerely do. I sometimes think I don't do that enough, because you are important to the program. If you weren't here, why, we wouldn't be here. And so we do thank you so very, very much. So that leads me into a story today that I didn't know whether I wanted to talk about it or not, but I almost have to. You understand? I have to talk about this. Seems like Senator Larry Craig has fled the country right now. How convenient it was that he and the congressional delegation have headed to Bali. You know, it's just so important that they have to go to places like Bali, isn't it? You don't hear of them having conferences in Regina, Saskatchewan, or you know, Dawson Creek up in the Yukon. You don't hear them having their... It's places like Bali. Yes. Or how about Delhi? Wouldn't that be a nice place, New Delhi? New place for... But no, they don't go to places like that. They go to Bali and the Mediterranean and Bermuda and you know, spas in Southern California and all that. And, of course, usually by private jet. But... You know, normally we don't get into the gossip mongering, but we had an event last week that seemed very strange to me, and I suppose to some of you as well. We heard the announcement from Trent Lott, and as he's affectionately called around the Capitol building, and I've seen Trent Lott around there many times, and I absolutely agree with the assessment. They call him Helmet Hair there. He definitely, when you're up close to him, definitely does look like he's wearing a football helmet of hair. I'm sorry, Trent, buddy, but that's the way it is. And so, you know, this announcement that came out by a lot just seemed like kind of odd to me, that the man, you know, he's not that old. He's going to give up his Senate seat. And coupled with the fact that Larry Flynt, now there's that name, Larry Flynt announced at the end of October that within the next, and to quote Larry, the next week or two, Hustler was going to be blowing the lid off a really juicy sex scandal featuring a prominent United States senator, end quote, one that would stand Washington and the country on its head. And without saying so in so many words, Flynt hinted that this would once again be a Republican senator. And then you hear this announcement last week. Now, I'm just saying, I don't indulge in gossip normally on this program, but I'm just going to tell you what I know, and you can put your own facts to this. You can draw your own conclusion that Trent Lott put out the word last Sunday that he was going to announce his resignation on Monday, and he didn't really give a good reason for his resignation. He just said, you know, me and the little woman, it's time that we, you know, sit back and relax, and you know damn well he's going to end up as a lobbyist. You know that. And MSNBC went along with the fact that he was going to resign now in order to, so he could start a lobbying career after waiting only a year instead of the two he would be subject to if he didn't resign this year, because they got that new law coming along saying you have to wait two whole years. They usually find a way around it or just break it altogether. And so Lott jumped in on that. Yeah, that's right. That's the case. There'd be some opportunities out there. And so Hustler last week confirmed on Monday that the unidentified senator in their teaser, the trailer, was Trent Lott. And you haven't heard a whole lot about this in the media, and I don't know why. Maybe because it's completely unsubstantiated. And I'm not putting any credence to it at all here other than what is coming from Hustler. Hustler magazine has received numerous inquiries regarding the involvement of Larry Flynt and Hustler in the resignation of Trent Lott. Senator Lott has been the target of an ongoing Hustler investigation for some time now due to confidential information that we've received. That from Hustler. Now, you may sit there and say, well, you know, that's Hustler. That's Larry Flynt. Look at the record. Ask Bob Livingston. Mm-hmm. Ask Bob Livingston. Ask Vitter. So when it comes to outing politicians that are in sex scandals, you have to give Larry Flynt and Hustler magazine a smidgen of credibility, at least. And as I mentioned before I started talking about this, this is gossip. This is not proven. It's not substantiated. But we're talking about a guy, Larry Flynt, who has been proven right in the past on some of these. And then on the other side, we're talking about a politician. Who do you believe? Seems like kind of a toss-up, doesn't it? A pornographer or a United States senator? I don't know. Coupled with the fact that, you know, Larry Craig and Trent were, well, you know, they're in that quartet together. So who knows? Who knows? We've had that guy, can't think of his name anymore. Benjamin something. I can't think of his name. He's a gay male escort. And the story was going around that he was involved with this Trent Lott thing, and he said no, it wasn't him. But I don't know. It just seemed odd, and maybe you thought it was odd as well. I do. You just never know in Washington, D.C. So we'll have to watch this, keep an eye on it. Lott and Larry Craig have been close friends for a number of years. And who knows if Trent knows anything about wide stance toe-tapping in restrooms or not. We don't know. Love it when they talk about that. Say, yeah, he took a wide stance on that issue. I'll never hear that again without smiling a lot. Ah, yes. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. Once again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record today, I do want to invite you all over to the blog, the new Guy James Show blog, and you can find it at www.theguyjamesshow.com/blog. And all you got to do is click on one of the stories there, one of the posts there, and you can add your comments. It's just as simple as that, and we'd appreciate it if you'd do so. We'd be happy to hear from you, most definitely. Do want to let you know that tomorrow we're going to be talking about the economy, and as you well know, there's a lot to talk about. A very disconcerting story taking place right in this area, coming up either next week or the week after. The first big sale of foreclosed homes, 100 homes going on the block at once. 100. And that just gives you some idea. I think I mentioned on the program the other day that last month in Lee County, Florida, there were 1,532 foreclosures. And folks, albeit that this is a populated area, it isn't that populated that we ought to be having 1,532 foreclosures. So everybody worried, everybody that has mortgages, everybody that owned home, worrying about the equity in those homes rapidly disappearing in areas like this one and in Phoenix and in Las Vegas and in California, even some places up north in northwest Ohio, the Toledo area, Detroit, Cleveland, property values plummeting 30-40% in some areas. And, you know, for people that got a adjustable rate mortgage and say they bought a $100,000 house, for example, which, you know, kind of low price nowadays in many places, but you bought a $100,000 house and you put $20,000 down on it and got an adjustable rate mortgage, and I don't know what the payments would be on that, $600-$700 a month, and all of a sudden your payments are going up by a couple $100 a month, your insurance rates are certainly going up, your taxes are going up, and your property values are going down. And it is a very, very, very touchy and sad situation for a lot of people. I know people who are having that problem right now. I know a lot of people are having that problem right now. And so here we are faced with a big mortgage holder auctioning 100 homes, 100 foreclosed upon homes. And just imagine what that will do to the property values in this area. And there'll be more auctions. And the real estate speculators and vultures will move in and expect to buy those homes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And the folks that have a property for sale are going to be, it's going to be a bad situation. And something is spreading throughout the nation, not just here. And my heart certainly goes out to many folks. I get mail about it. What am I going to do? I hear from people. I read on blogs and forums. People that are worried sick. How will I hang on to my home? My hours have been cut at work. My insurance benefits are gone because my hours were cut. My house payment went up because of the adjustable rate mortgage, and yet we have people on the financial channel saying, Hey, the market's up. Things are looking good, boy. And we have the Bush administration saying, hey, yeah, things aren't bad. No, things are bad. The president's presided over a very good economy since he's been in office. And so it's a difficult time we're faced with. And nobody said life would be easy, but I think of all the years that I've lived, I don't think there's any question in my mind that the present time financially in this country is probably the most difficult of all the times in my years. There was a recession back in the early 80s that was rather severe, and interest rates went up and so forth, but I lived in a small town area at the time, and as I've often told people, if I hadn't read it in the newspaper, I wouldn't known it had happened because it didn't affect me. I think eventually this one's going to affect just about everybody in one way or another, except the wealthy and the ultra-wealthy. Those folks, you know, they may take a slight hit, but they never get hit too hard. They've got enough of a reserve that they can stand just about anything that comes down the pike. It's the working man, the guy that works at Walmart, the local gal that works at Walgreens, you know, the servers at the restaurants, the people that have what few manufacturing jobs there are left. The salesman down at the car dealer right now that can't, you know, I know a guy that, let's just say I know where there's a car dealer in this area that sells normally right around 75 luxury cars every month. And I'm talking luxury. You know, that's nothing compared to a Ford or Chevrolet dealer or a Toyota dealer. But these are luxury cars, very expensive cars. That has a middle line that that a lot of people can afford to, in the $35,000 range up to $90,000. Anyway, they normally sell around 75 cars a month. They sold 10 last month. 10. And you might say, well, you know, it's okay. The rich guys couldn't buy their expensive cars last month. All right, the rich guys didn't buy their expensive cars last month, but what about the mechanics working in that garage? Half of them got laid off. What about the salespeople on the sales force? You know, half of them are laid off or not making any money because they're not selling any cars. You know, think of the trickle-down effect. Okay, it's Christmas time. Those sales folks, they were going to go out and buy Christmas presents for their family. They're not going down to the local department store now. They're not going down to the local shoe store or the dress shop or buying nice gifts for their family. They can't. They don't have an income. So it trickles down and down and down all the way down. They can't go out to eat. They can't afford to go out to eat because of the gas prices and because they don't have the income to go out to eat. So the servers, the restaurants, the cooks, all the way down through the line, it affects everybody sooner or later. And if you are at the top of the food chain, if you're the wealthy or maybe almost wealthy or wealthy, you have enough of reserve that you take a little hit. Your income might take a little hit. Your interest or your dividends, you might take a little hit. But you want to see the real economy. You go out at 6 o'clock in the morning and see the cars driving down the road. The people on the way to work. The construction people, what few of them left in this area, for example, that are still building homes. Those people going to work. The people that do the service work, that clean the hotel rooms. The people in your area that do the gardening, that do the farming, that do the, you go out at 6 o'clock in the morning and see the people on the way to work in the morning. Those are the people you want to ask how the economy is. Those are the people. And believe me, it's not good. It's not good. Those are the people that don't give a damn about the financial news on the nightly news because they don't have a stock portfolio. They're not raking in dividends. They're earning a living off the sweat of their brow, off their hard labor, and nothing else. Usually two of them in a family just trying to get by right now. So let's not have this crap coming from the administration. Oh, we're presiding over a good economy, that the Fed says this, Bernanke says that, things are fine. Maybe there's a little bump in the road, maybe not. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. There's plenty of room to worry, plenty of reason to worry. And I don't like to talk about it day in and day out, but it is something we're going to look at in detail tomorrow. And it has to be taken a look at and to see where we're going, what we can do to stave off some of these problems. I see the government is going to try and do something to keep financial institutions maybe to freeze some interest rates so some of the ARMs don't get adjusted up so high so some folks will be able to hang on to their homes, but it's not going to help the people already in foreclosure. It's not going to help the people that have a set rate that's already too high for them. It's not going to help a lot of the people that were taken advantage of by predatory lenders. There was a lot of greed took place, folks, in the real estate market in the past few years. There's a lot of people that got filthy rich off of it. And there's a lot of people suffering because of it. A lot of people got greedy. I know some average people that got greedy, speculating on property, put down, when the market was going up and up and up, just like in 1929 when the stock market was going up. When the average guy starts jumping in on that, he's going to get bit every time. And thousands upon thousands of homes in Florida being foreclosed upon by average Joes that speculated on homes and bought them, put down a deposit, and then saw the property values going south. Anyway, we'll discuss all that tomorrow. I have enjoyed having you along today, as always. Enjoy all the feedback. Once again, I do want to remind you to head on over to the blog, theguyjamesshow.com/blog. I'd love to hear from you. Love to get your opinions on what we have up there. Always enjoyable to know what you're thinking, too. It's your show. Thanks for joining us today. Big thank you to Billy Shears. Billy does a great job here on the Head On Radio Network. Be sure and catch his show when you can. And he's the musical director here at the Guy James Show. Picks out all the tunes. And I'm your host, Guy James, here in the Head On Radio Network. And I want to thank you once again for joining us. And don't you forget, this is a listener-supported program, folks, and it's getting down to the end of the year, and we could most certainly use your support. I'm not kidding. All right. Hey, all you've heard from the radical right, now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.